Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing our studies here in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we are here in chapter number 4. We've been looking at verse number 17, which says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now, over the last couple episodes, we've been looking at that difference between the promise made to the nation of Israel, their earthly hope, that kingdom that's going to be set up here on the earth once the prophetic program is finished up, and how that contrasts with the promise that's been made to us, the members of the body of Christ, the heavenly hope that we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, ruling and reigning with him in the heavenly places, and how we have that promise because we've put our trust in the gospel message for today that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and the simple fact that our belief in that work gives us our eternal life. And as we've been looking at this, you know, one of the important things that as we look at the scriptures, you know, whether it's talking about, you know, end time things or any other topic that we find in scripture, it's the responsibility that we have as a believer to apply the principle that's found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. "Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And how, if we are doing that, that it will help to prevent us from starting to blur the, you know, issues together of taking things from our program and blurring it with the things of Israel's program. It'll help us to clear up a lot of the confusion that individuals have, and how, unfortunately, that's where a lot of Christianity is today, is that they've created confusion for themselves as they're pulling in these different things that do not apply to them, thinking that that is where their hope is, and how we, having that responsibility, that we are able to truly know and understand exactly what it is that is intended for us, and how we know that we have no hope associated with the issues of the kingdom that was promised to the nation of Israel. And so no matter how many times individuals pull those kingdom promises or say and repeat to themselves over and over again that they're bringing about the kingdom, that has nothing to do with who we are as the members of the body of Christ today. And it's important for us to really realize and understand this, that way we can have that firm grasp on really what our hope is, so that way we are not discouraged by things that we see, that we can understand exactly what is going to happen with us and truly have the hope that is there. And that's why this whole section talks about to comfort one another, because we need to have that level of comfort. And the only way that we have comfort is being provided by God through his word and we have to be able to understand this. That's why when we see this issue in the text that we're looking at, talking about, you know, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, and it's talking about those individuals that we spent some time discussing, you know, a few months ago as we've been studying this. When you look here back in verse number 14, when it says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." So those that are part of the body of Christ that have preceded us in death, if we are part of that group that is alive at the time this event happens, that we're going to be caught up together with them. And that's where that comfort is coming from, because we're going to be with those individuals. But you see how there's this issue of us being caught up together with them, where Paul brings up, if we go back into the book of 2 Corinthians, and we'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and we have Paul make a statement here about something that we are able to understand now as we're studying this out in verse number 8, where Paul says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." And how, as Paul's describing this to this assembly at Corinth, talking about things related to the hope, and we know that that's the direction this is going, because when you get down to just two verses later in this same chapter, Paul is saying, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So Paul is connecting this issue of being absent from the body and present with the Lord with the fact that the very next thing that is going to happen is the fact that the individuals are going to be part of the judgment seat of Christ, where Paul has already, to this assembly in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, given the details of exactly what's going to happen with that event. And let's go over there, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and we'll just kind of quickly read this section here, what the Apostle Paul is talking about when he says, we'll start in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 3, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So as Paul's describing this event here, we see how he starts with the issue of that what's going to be built is built upon the only foundation that can be laid, which is the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we understand, as we've been spent the last couple episodes looking at the difference between Israel and the body of Christ, that there's a preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which is our hope. And then there's the preaching of Jesus Christ according to prophecy, Israel's hope. And you see how, if you look over in Romans chapter number 15, that the Apostle Paul identifies those two things when in verse 8 of the chapter, he identifies how what the Lord Jesus Christ did while he was here on the earth was fulfilled the promises made unto the fathers, showing that anything that's being spoken of him back there is tied in with Israel's program, that earthly hope, the kingdom that's going to be established. And then in verse 16 of the exact same chapter, Paul shows how what he's been given is a different message related to the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. The thing what Paul calls my gospel, he calls it the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. We see these different terms that are used to describe what is given to Paul for us to know and understand for today. And how that's the foundation, and we build upon that foundation by following the example that's been given to us by the Apostle Paul. We follow him as he followed Christ. He followed Christ as we have laid out in the books of Romans through Philemon. And when we do that, as we live our Christian life, we see how there's two different categories of these things that are being built. There's gold, silver, and precious stones, and then there's wood, hay, and stubble. And how it describes that there's going to be a fire that's going to come that's going to try those things. Now, we know if wood, hay, and stubble are exposed to fire, that fire burns them up, they're destroyed. When gold, silver, and precious stones are exposed to fire, they're purified. They remain, and then that's how we receive a reward based on what remains. And so Paul's showing how these events, which are the things of the end of this dispensation, how this whole process ties together of the catching out of the saints, us receiving our brand new body that's going to be able to exist in the heavenly places for all of eternity, and the fact that we're going to receive the reward. That reward is the position that we will have in the heavenly places. Now, unfortunately, one of the things that has tended to happen with individuals today is as they've read and looked at Paul's epistles, and they start doing this very severe thing of dividing Paul's epistles to the point of where they're throwing out either whole sections or whole epistles that Paul wrote, saying that they don't apply to us, and things that have been taken away by doing that are the things of what we've been studying out. That they'll say that the judgment seat of Christ, what we just described, that that's truly something for the nation of Israel and has nothing to do with who we are today. That what we've been looking at here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 is part of Israel's program and has nothing to do with who we are today. And as they're doing these things, they're taking away the hope of the believer. They're taking away big sections of doctrine, leading to confusion for individuals because of this really becomes a lack of understanding of what it is that the Apostle Paul is actually writing about. And that's, you know, that confusion, you know, his, you know, really is starting to impact more and more people, because rather than studying for themselves, they've been following individuals, and, well, I really believe this person because I like them, and I'm going to let them do my study by the fact that I'm just listening to them. I'm not questioning anything that they say, and I'm just blindly accepting what it is that they say about God's Word. And that's that failure to follow the passage that we talked about in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, because of the fact that they really struggle to understand what it is that God's Word actually says for us today. And we know that we've been promised these things. We know that we have, if we go over to 2 Timothy, we'll go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2 here, and we're going to see how Paul's going to describe this issue of the fact that we're going to be reigning with him. We're going to read verses 11 through 13 of 2 Timothy chapter number 2. It says, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." So, we see we're going to look at verses 11 and verse 13 first before we get into verse 12 of this, because you see how verse 11 is talking about the salvation. So if we be dead with him, so if we become identified with his death, and we become identified in that manner by the fact that we've put our trust in the gospel message for today. So if that has happened, then Paul says, we shall also live with him. So if we've put our trust in that message, then we've been given the gift of eternal life that Paul identifies in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Then in verse 13, you have the issue of that if somebody gets to the point where they're saying, if we believe not, so somebody's, you know, they've once believed the gospel message, now they're rejecting that message for whatever reason. You see how Paul says, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. So even if the individual who once put their trust in the gospel message, they reject it at some future point, they still have that gift of eternal life. They still have that promise of salvation, and they still have that because of the fact that what Paul identifies in Ephesians chapter number 1 about how once we've trusted that gospel, we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So the very moment we put our trust in the gospel message, we're sealed with that Holy Spirit promise. We're put into the body of Christ, and we're kept there. And no matter what we do, we cannot be removed from that. You know, and that's such a glorious thing. That's why you see, and we're going to come back to 2 Timothy chapter number 2 in a second. I'm just going to read a couple verses out of Philippians chapter number 1, where Paul says here in verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We're going to skip down to verse number 10. It says that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. So these two verses identifying the fact that there's, in verse 6, there's a good work that's been performed in us, and that good work is going to be there until the day of Jesus Christ. In verse 10, that we're identified as being sincere and without offense. Now, that word sincere is a thing of that somebody has no flaw, and they have no flaw not because of anything that they have done. They have no flaw because we're identified as the Lord Jesus Christ. We're identified in his righteousness, and because we're identified in his righteousness, and that's how God the Father sees us, we could be seen as having that state of where Paul says that we are sincere and without offense. And those two verses that are identifying, talking about the day of Christ, that's talking about these events and this timing that we've been studying here in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, the catching out of the saints. Now, if we go back to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and we see verse 12, which is going to be really talking about not an issue of somebody losing their salvation, because we just showed how verse 13 is showing that a person can't lose their salvation. But verse 12, which says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. So there's an issue of a suffering that's to happen, which is going to lead to us having the ability to reign. And then a denial, which is going to really be the denial of that suffering, then he's going to deny us that ability to reign with him. So if we deny him that suffering, what ends up happening is the fact that we build the wood, hay, and stubble that 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 was making a reference to, and we lose that reward that we should have. If we do suffer, we're building that gold, silver, and precious stones. And when we're building that gold, silver, and precious stones, then we're given those positions of authority to where we're going to be able to reign with him in the heavenly places, which is what God intends for every member of the body of Christ. And we see how, as Paul's describing this in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, that we who are alive and remain are being caught up together to meet them who are in the air, and how, you know, they're there and we're coming to meet them. And there are some issues related to that idea of time, especially from the perspective of those who are already with him in the air, that it describes that they're coming back with him. And that's actually where we're going to pick up with in next week's broadcast, looking at some of those aspects of the time perspective from, you know, those who are already there with him. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some charts to help you in your study of God's Word. We have information how to join our Sunday service and our Wednesday night Bible study live as they're being broadcast on Facebook. If you happen to be in the Buffalo area on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., we'd love to have you join us at 83 Anderson Road in Cheektowaga, New York. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything in our broadcast, anything on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.